Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast. I am so glad you're here. Before we start the show, if you're interested, we have a free Facebook group called Savvy Nurse Writer Community. I appreciate you following and listening to me today, and I would love if you would subscribe via iTunes. And if you love our show, can I ask you for a review? Select ratings and reviews and write a review. It's that simple. I would love to read your review, and it helps other nurses like you find our podcast. Thanks so much.
Today's guest is Mal McCallan. He has spent 30 years in high-growth organizations, becoming increasingly obsessed with the elements of business which makes some CMEs succeed where others fail. He was part of teams that launched both Zoopia and Prime Location, which are realty websites over in the UK. And with the experience of growing these businesses to multi-million plus valuations, in 2015 set up Grocian, that helps CMEs shortcut those many issues that they typically face. Using a strong base of activities around product, marketing, and sales, Grocian has helped dozens of startups and scale-ups execute their way to success. And today, he shares that whole growth strategy with us today. So if you guys are looking to have at least one practical, easy-to-adopt tip for launching or scaling your business right now, then listen to the show. Welcome to the Savvy Scribe Podcast, a podcast for healthcare professionals who want to build a profitable writing business. I'm your host, Janine Kalbach. I'm a wife, mother of two incredible boys, labor and delivery nurse who created my own profitable writing business back in 2015, and I'm ready to share my secrets along the way with some help from some incredible guests. My goal is to help you open up your creative mind with my podcast, courses, and Facebook group, the Savvy Scribe Collective, to help you build your own profitable writing business. So let's take a listen. If you've been on my email list for more than 6 months, you might have noticed in the last 6 months that my newsletters have started to look a lot cooler than they used to. Is that because I've become a graphic designer overnight? It's all because of a cool new tool called Flowdesk. If you need a 50% off code for your email list to look a lot cooler than it does now, head on over to thesavvyscribepodcast.com/FLODESK, Flowdesk. All right, Savvy Scribes, welcome to another episode. Today I am here with Mal. Welcome to the show.
That's really kind. Hi there, Janine. Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Really well, thank you. Very well indeed.
So you know your accent's different than mine. Tell my audience where you are from.
Yes, so I'm not from from the States. So I'm from I live near Cambridge over in the UK. Usually I would be spending a lot of time kind of going to and from London, which is where a lot of my clients are. I run a growth consultancy for small and medium sized businesses, but the world has stopped over here as well as it has over there. So yes, I am pretty much housebound, but occasionally I get out. So it's quite nice.
Do you still get to do your business like remotely? Is it working out?
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well. So yeah, I've been really lucky. I don't know about you, but. Because I'd so the other 2 weeks of a week, sorry, the other 2 days of a week, I would usually be remote anyway. So I've just kind of stepped that up and kind of dialed down some of the travel time. So yeah, it's been pretty okay. I mean, you know, it's like a lot of businesses have perhaps seen it quite difficult over these times, because I specialize in sort of startups and young businesses and those that are looking to grow. The impact has been quite significant on those guys. But you know, we've set up like a Facebook group where everybody supports each other. We have a lot of kind of you know, free sort of help that we can put out there as well. So yeah, really focused on that. It's just a different time. You know, it's one of those times that it's in times like these that you find out a lot about yourself and your business, and you make some decisions that will ultimately probably help you in the long term. So yeah, it's been.
Well, I think too, you find a
really
lot about other people. Like the kind-hearted people out there and the people that really want you to grow and really want to help. You do. You get that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like.
I couldn't agree more. And actually, I read your blog post about kind of seeing like, you know, people giving loads of stuff free to nurses. I thought it was wonderful. You know,
oh,
I think
that was
that's,
great. Yeah.
That there's a lot of stuff. And that's where you kind of, yeah, your faith in humanity starts to be reinvigorated, doesn't it?
So,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's been a really, really interesting time.
So you say you help grow small businesses and businesses in general. Tell me a little bit about how you started with that. What's your background?
Thanks. So I kind of fell into startups. And that just really got me the bug. So I was working for a financial services company. I left university, did sort of 6-7 years at this financial services company. And as part of that, I'd moved from, I was based in London, moved up to a place called York, and which is a very lovely, quaint old city. And I was 27, and it kind of, I wanted to get back to London, basically. So I was just casting around, and I got approached to join this business that then became a reasonably large business over here called primelocation.com, which is a property website. So not dissimilar to realtor.com and things like that. So we set that up. I was one of six who helped set it up. And then we sold it, you know, 5 years later for like £48 million, which was like really exciting.
Absolutely. That's huge.
Just totally got me the bug, right? And then I joined another business a few years later called Zoopla that was very much similar to Zillow. And that kind of grew exponentially as well. So that was another ride.
Huge.
And so, what I wanted to do was just kind of, so I became fascinated by what makes businesses like that grow like that and others not. And how those, what the kind of interplay between all of the different decisions you make at those times are. Because, you know, you kind of start at some stage, everybody starts with somebody, one person generally, but perhaps two, sitting around the table going, I've got a great idea. I've got a really good idea, and I think we're going to make some money on it. And what actually changes it from being that always, perennially, 2-3 people sitting around a table having good ideas, having a nice time, but not making the 48 million and then Zoopla sold a couple of years ago for some billions. So that got me kind of thinking. That's what I then developed the what we call the growth execution formula, which is sitting behind my head if anybody can see it. If you can't see it, it's basically 15 different elements split between three disciplines, as we call them. And that's product, marketing, and sales. So I'll talk more about that in a sec. But basically, this was what came out of that whole kind of like, right, what can I observe makes, if people go through these phases, this gives them a much better chance of making it to longevity more than necessarily exponential growth. But yeah, it's about effectively covering off a lot of the disciplines that are required to build a business. And there's for me, there wasn't any way you could go and get that. So that's what we wanted to build here at Groshen.
So you made it yourself. And that's the key right there.
Do you know what? That's what I know a lot of the listeners to your show will have done. And yeah, it's that, just get out and do it.
So I guess my question is, besides like growing this business of yours and putting together this framework in a sense, what made you, so you grew those two businesses, but what made you think like back to the beginning? Like sometimes I feel like I get so deep in my business, I can't think back to the beginning steps besides the ideas on like how you really got that change of like growth. You know what I mean? Like the from zero to a lot.
Yeah.
Was it overnight? So, was it slow growing?
So the Zoopla, so we learned a lot with the first one, and they're both reasonably similar businesses in the property market, online property technology business. So the second time around, I guess I was a bit more curious. The first time was just like crazy, hectic, just...
You know, let's get it gone. Right. Let's get it launched.
Absolutely.
Let's do this. No, yeah, and look, it's growing. Let's let it keep growing.
Do more of that. Let's just do more of that stuff. And stop doing that stuff over there, because that's not good.
But keep going.
Exactly that. So the second time around was much more like, right, okay. I made notes and I kind of tried to like, you know, be a bit more sciencey about it, which is why this looks all sciencey. But you know, just a bit more like, you know, what are the common features? What can I see that is going to work? And just very quickly, so in the product bit, it's like product concept. So really, really start absolutely with like, this is who you are. This is what you are here to do. All right. So the product concept is all about, why are you solving this problem? All right. And I spent a lot of time with clients just sitting there just going, look, why you? Right? What is it unique about you that makes you absolutely have to sort this out? You know, for you, it's about why do you need to help other nurses to be able to write? You know, what is it about you, your unique? And once you start to articulate that and they start to draw that out, then that's when you start to, pretty much everything else is relatively straightforward after that, which is the real key, right? So when you get down to, for example, marketing brand, that's really straightforward because it's going to have some, if it's a very, lovely kind of relational sort of caring business, then the marketing brand is going to be that sort of emphasis. Whereas if it's a very like, what we're here to do is just make money, we're going to like da da da, that is perhaps more, a bit more clinical, and a bit more sharp edges. But those are the kinds of things that come out of the very first decision you make, which is what is my concept? What am I here to prove? And as long as you have that, and as long as you know that really, really deeply, then so many of the decisions you make further down the line are going to be so much easier. Because you know who you want to go into partnership with, and those, those businesses or those individuals, your teams, will be reflections of that original idea. So there's a lot that kind of goes into it, and all of these have their own little home. But in any business, it's always unique. Some of these will be much stronger. Some of them will need a bit more help, but they all take you closer to growing the way that you want to grow.
Interesting. So, when you start with a small business, you obviously start with your product concept. And does it take them a long time to really tune into that why me or why us as a company?
Yeah, do you know what? It does depend. And I think that one of the fascinating things is if you have more than one founder versus one founder, I think if you've got a single founder, it's relatively straightforward, right?
Because sure.
Basically, it's almost the kind of physical embodiment of them and their brains and their emotions and attitudes, and that's relatively straightforward. What you can find in those situations, though, is that it's quite that they may not be ready to really kind of articulate it and really reveal it because it can be quite deep, and actually, they've got the idea of having the business as almost a kind of filter between them and that, but the more they let go and the more you kind of just go, I'm just gonna put everything into this, then the more successful the business is and the faster it grows. So that's sure. Really kind of
tough. But it's scary
for sure, absolutely. What happens if somebody doesn't like it? Do they not like me? I've gone to this customer and I've said, this is really amazing, do you want it? And they go, nah. And you're like, that's just that's a rejection of me and everything I stand for. So it can be quite a moment really when it all comes together and when there is that kind of almost letting go, and actually saying that, that this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to actually say this is why I'm here, almost. This is why as a human I want to fix this problem, because I know loads of people have got it. And I know that I'm the person to go out there and make it happen. One of the things, just an aside, that I often do, though, is in the first few meetings with clients or potential clients, I really try not to let the entrepreneur come in, because that can be really brutal. Because those first, before you've really got your minimum viable product together and before you've actually really kind of, you've got it where it's fitting its market, then you can get some pretty robust feedback.
Sure.
And that can be it can get into a very defensive kind of pose about, well, the reason we do it this way is because of this, and this. It's not really the feedback kind of that we look for that.
I'm sure you learned that along the way. Like, okay, I did not expect that to happen.
Yes. And those moments, they're really important feedback. But just if you can remove the emotion, and that often means removing the entrepreneur from that conversation, that's a really, really good one to do. So if any of your listeners are thinking about going out to market and launching something and thinking, how do I get feedback on it? I'd ask somebody else to ask the question, because nobody likes that view. I often think, and I know you're doing the kind of maternity sphere as well, it's like somebody saying, you're showing your baby and going, isn't he beautiful? And then you go,
nah, not that one.
It's that brutal. So that one, if you've got one entrepreneur, that's great. A couple of entrepreneurs, you do find potentially sometimes they need to settle in on one. And that can take a little bit longer.
Now, do you work with just product companies, or do you work with service-based as well?
Yeah, and sorry. So when I talk about product, it is services too, for sure.
Okay, so if I'm a nurse, I am a nurse, but if I was one of our listeners today that are writers, can you quickly, in a sense, walk us through the process on how they would do this? Did you know I had a page right on my website that gives you all the writer resources that I use in my business and in my life? Also, you'll find there different partnerships I have created with course creators and such throughout the industry for you to expand your skill set with the help of my friends. So head on over to thesavvyscribepodcast.com and just click on resources or thesavvyscribe.com/writer-resources.
Yeah.
To grow their business. I know you will. You're going to do great.
I do. You are going to have to, I'll probably ramble on about some of these. So just bring you back to the point if I did. So the first part is product or the service itself. So this is really getting an understanding of what you are selling, all right, what you are going to sell. What you're going to produce that at some stage is going to make you money, all right? And the process of selling we'll get to in a second, and we can talk about how ruthless you have to be or otherwise. And you don't have to be ruthless, but. So product concept is why you're here. So the product concept is the answer to the question, why am I solving this problem? Or why am I producing this service? You know, what is it that has driven me to write this article for you to help these other nurses to enter the writing field? Product design is how you're going to do it. So how do you get from somebody who's vaguely interested to they're delighted and they want to tell the world about it? So that could be, I'm going to do it via a podcast, or I'm going to do it via a book. You know, so it's that design of how you're going to deliver that benefit to people. Product service is who. So often this is a bit that gets forgotten, but you've got to know who your audience is. You've got to really be able to articulate the people you're here to serve, so you know what your niche is. And also often you find people want it to be for everybody. And this is it's totally understandable, but it's so totally going to just mean that you end up, you know, trying to hit everything and missing probably all of them. It's like the truism that Amazon was a bookseller first, right? And it got really, really good at that, and it deliberately so. And if you listen to any Jeff Bezos interviews, he says, the reason I chose books is because they fit through doors. So, you know, they fit through letterboxes. You know, so it's that kind of, I mean, obviously genius thinking. But, you know, he was working on the logistics. That was the whole thing. But everybody thought it was a bookshop. But, yeah, good for now, and particularly at the start, identify your niche. Really know them well. If you need to think about avatars, you know, think about, give them names, right? So say pick three distinct types, give them some names, understand where they're from, where they went to school, how many siblings they've got, what they think, what their values are, and then start to really make your product fit whichever niche you really want to go for. Pricing is loads of fun because it's something that people, it's really confusing because you don't necessarily know where to start. And there's loads of things you can do, particularly three things I always have a look at is if you can, within your service, think of a setup fee, then that's something that you can always kind of have as a something you negotiate away in any pricing discussion. Discounts, upgrades. Do you have three distinct products? So do you have a gold, silver, and bronze? So is there somebody can, if you're a writer, then the book is perhaps the bronze product. The silver product is perhaps you going to a reading, you know, where you might invite a number of people to that, and that might cost them a little bit. And then perhaps the goal is where you actually sit with them and help them to write books themselves or something like that. You know what I mean? So having a little escalator of product is really it also helps you as an entrepreneur to really clarify where the value is and where you are delivering most. And you know, I often find that people, they thought they were a writer, you know, but actually that when they come and do the public speaking or they do the kind of individual helping stuff, then that can be just such an additional way of serving the people they want to serve that it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Then USP, products USP, you've got to have a unique selling point. And to shortcut this whole thing, it's always your product concept, it's always you. Then you move into marketing. And I could talk to you at length about marketing, but marketing brand is important. You have to have your own one. Marketing intel is all about where your people hang out. So do they hang out on Facebook? And if so, be part of their groups. Marketing content, you've got to make sure that your messaging is absolutely consistent. Get on social media, have chats like this on podcasting, do some advertising, and then reach the sales zone, which is probably something that's a little bit later for most businesses.
Very good.
Very good. That's
awesome. I'm not that massively short. You know that.
Well, I knew that this was, I knew it was going to be a good thing for our service-based writers. I mean, honestly, if you guys want some like passive sort of income, developing a product does that. So you can have clients all day long and there's nothing wrong with that. But once you add in a product, that's how you're going to be starting to make any additional revenue monthly, weekly, whatever that is, whatever you decide it could be. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, there is a real challenge, I think, for everybody that's kind of selling time for money. So yes, so selling time for money is the real challenge, I think, for most people, particularly, you know, entrepreneurs who are just starting out, is it is so easy for that time to start drifting away in things that, you know, and as a consultant and as a business that does consultancy, one of our products is that, is face-to-face consultancy. But that is less profitable and less useful than, as you say, the kind of the money that just comes in, the passive income that comes in from training courses and things like that might be far, far easier to deliver.
Very good, very good. So tell me a little bit too, do you have any tips or products or tools that you like to promote, not even just promote, but that you use in your everyday business or you tell your small business owners to try out to try to keep themselves organized or, you know, keep this process kind of going?
Yeah, so there's a couple that there's any number that I try. What I always try and do, because it's SMEs, is I always try and find things that are free or like dirt cheap, cost effective. I've been using Notion a lot recently.
Oh, so
Notion.so, Notion.so. And this is kind of a next generation productivity app. Obviously it's mobile, it's on your desktop. And it allows you to essentially kind of construct things any way you like. So you can have it as to-do lists, you can have it as, it's got calendars, so you can link. If I've got a podcast to do on a Tuesday, then I can link that back into my, it's got a database in it, so it's got the various clients and people I'll be speaking with. It also then links into what topics we're going to discuss. Are we going to focus in on product design? And then I can see all the different things about product design. So it's a really kind of intuitive app that I found really allows me to kind of be, and also it's got your personal stuff in it as well, right? So you can do a journal in there. It's got your life goals in there too. So you can also kind of dovetail how that one podcast is building towards your greater goal of, you know, being a good human and helping people. It's really good. It saves time and it also helps all your life to make a bit more sense.
Well, don't you feel like as an entrepreneur and business owner yourself, there isn't really anything out there that really combines the life and business? Because most people, let's be honest, have a job, right? They go to work every day and they do that. And that's almost separate from their life. And they don't even really have to think about it. They just go work for their employer and then come home and have their family and personal time. Whereas as entrepreneurs and business owners, we have to kind of fit that into our life. And, you know, I can never find anything that really does that. And that's a great tool that you can really link your life goals with your podcast, like you said, like something like that. That's really innovative.
And genuinely it works. And I have found it kind of aligns all that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, not that this was without purpose anyway, but it just kind of ties those purposes in together. And as you say, that there isn't that dividing line between, right, I'm at work.
Yeah.
I'm at home. Now I'm at work. Now I'm at home. We don't get that. We have, you know, the dogs in the background, the kids downstairs, we're homeschooling as well. and trying to fit all of that around and then understanding which you should be kind of allocating time to, having something that kind of has that holistic view and kind of makes you think, actually, all of this does make sense, really.
Yes.
I do have a relatively clear focus on where this is all going to go. So, yeah, it's very useful.
So tell me, what is your best piece of advice for people that own businesses or your small business owners that you talk to? What's the best piece of advice you can give us?
We'll be right back.
You guys, I wrote a book and it's launched and I want you to check it out. Go over to Amazon, look for Savvy Nurse Writer. It'll come up right away, but it's called Savvy Nurse Writer, A Nurse's Blueprint for Starting a Profitable Freelance Health Writing Business. We have lots of reviews, all 5 stars. top new release in the first week it was launched, and I want to share it with the world. So head on over to Amazon.com, search Savvy Nurse Writer, and get your copy today.
So the single most important thing for me when you're looking at a business or you're setting up a business is this understanding of why you're solving this problem. All right. So this and really it's almost instinctive. It's almost like everybody kind of knows it but never writes it down, and sure. Nobody ever kind of sits and thinks hard enough about it. In my view, or few people think hard enough about it, because that's the drive, right? That is the thing that you do every day that gets you out of bed in the morning, that you are awesome at, but you don't necessarily think to put it down or to nail it. Because once you have, like I said, so many decisions become so much easier. You know, you are able to ask potential staff or potential teams, you know, what it is that they do in the right context, because you're not just looking for somebody who you know, we'll be able to take phone calls and answer emails. You're looking for somebody who has the same kind of belief system as you, somebody mm-hmm. who buys into why you're doing what you're doing. And that just reframes everything and makes businesses so much more, it makes them grow so much faster, but also makes them so much more happy.
Yeah, and human, like a humanized kind of it, you know, it's not just always business, but the why. And like you said, I think too, yeah, it's an easy thing to think of, but then it's almost not. Like for some people, if you've never really thought about it, take a minute and sit down and think about it. Like, what is your why? And what are you good at? What makes you, like you said, get out of bed every day, do the things you do. There's something in you that's different than everybody else.
It's unique to you, like you say, and it is something that means that you are here to solve this problem, okay, for however many people in whatever niche you're targeting at. This is your calling, this is your drive, and it gets you through, right? It gets you, you know, we all have challenges in businesses, particularly small businesses. You know, there is a huge swathe of them that don't make it, and in my view, a lot of those it is because they haven't articulated that why, and therefore when times get tough and things aren't going quite according to plan, the mission, which is the reason, the why, gets lost in the, oh my God, you know, mm-hmm. everything isn't quite, it's not working out. But if you can keep that front of mind and you know that this is so important to you and to the wider community, the people you're here to serve, then that really makes sure that you kind of ride those rough stuff and you get to it.
Very good. Good advice. So I always like to end a little bit on three things that our audience would be surprised to know about you.
Okay. So I'm going to start, and I don't know if this is so I'm one of seven kids,
cool.
which is great. And I'm the second eldest, and obviously, you know, obviously the best, because you know that's when you're a family of seven, you have those fights, you have those arguments all the time. And my brothers and sisters are scattered around the UK. One's in Northern Ireland, various parts of, there's one in London, various parts of Northern Ireland, and we get on amazingly well, and we have our little WhatsApp group, we contact each other all the time, so that's really cool, and that I think has given me a wonderful grounding, and I'm very blessed to have them. As you know, it's just so nice to be able to.
Where did
you
all grow up at?
We were based, so London is uh-huh. down there in the southeast. We were kind of about 40 miles north of London.
Okay.
A place called Bulldock in Hertfordshire, which nobody, even people in England have never heard of. But it was fine. It was this little sleepy little town. It was very cute. But yeah, so my dad's from Scotland, my mum's from Northern England. So yeah, no, we had a wonderful time, wonderful childhood. So that's one thing. Being one of seven kids is unusual, I think, these days.
Sure.
One thing that my eldest brother did, this is the second thing. I always blame him. He always says it wasn't his fault. I only have a part of my finger here.
Oh, what happened?
I've just made you out of kind of redundant. And when I was 11, I was chasing my elder brother through the house. And I was running socks and I was running towards a door, slipped over, put my hand around the edge of the door and then hit it. So you guys would have seen far worse, right? You guys just like, yeah.
But I just laugh because I just think of my kids. I have two boys, and I just think that could totally happen in this house.
You know what? I am that kind of apocryphal tale, right? I am the caution wherever I – so I run a football team over here, or a soccer team, as I think you guys will know better, of under-11s, under-12s. And basically, whenever they're running anywhere they shouldn't be doing or anything like that, it's just like this, right?
Hey.
Don't do this. Don't run in corridors. Don't do whatever your mum and dad – always do what your mum and dad say, because otherwise this kind of thing happens.
When you were, what, 11?
Pardon?
You were 11? Is that what you say? 11 so, years old?
Yeah, I was 11 when it happened. Yeah.
Oh, that's traumatizing.
No, it was pretty bad. But, you know, but then as well, like for a little while, everybody just come along and go, is he finger? It was almost like a little celebrity in my playground. It's like, really hurts, but it's still kind of cool. So that was a long time ago. I do, as another aside, it was 6:45 on the 1st of December in 1983, showing my age, a long time ago. And every 1st of December at 6:45, I always phone my big brother and just like make sure I like, cry down behind him. Because that's been going on for 30 plus years now.
Of course.
So that's the second. And the third one, don't know what to really say. Cricket is not a game that you guys play, right? So cricket. So I also coach cricket, and I'm a very big fan of cricket, which is a very unique kind of game that takes forever. Some matches last 5 days. All right,
what?
5 days where everybody sits there for 5 days and plays here. And it's wonderful. And I coach the under-11s on cricket as well, because I want to torture them for 5 days.
Right. 5 days of torture.
It's great.
Very good. Well, Mel, tell my audience where they can find you. And I'm going to put everything in the show notes, but go ahead.
Thank you. So the main place we hang out, and particularly to articulate a little bit better these elements that I was talking about business growth and product marketing and sales, a growth execution group on Facebook. All right. We've set that up. There's got some great entrepreneurs in there. Everybody helps each other. That's what is all about, right? You know, in these times when everything is just a little bit weird, a little bit strange, that's where you can come. Growth execution group on Facebook, and you can find me, us. There's loads of great people in there. And we're always having a chat. We're always looking at different things and helping each other's businesses to grow. So that's the best place. Groshen.co is my business. I'd love to see you guys there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And I wish you well and health and everything these days.
Likewise. And back to you as well. And good luck out there. Stay safe, everybody. And look forward to hopefully catching up with you soon.
Take care.
With the summer being a pandemic summer, I decided to start the Kelback Life Skills Camp with my children. Oh, they were thrilled, let me tell you. One of the things we did was Instacart shop for people with my 15-year-old. I didn't take the little guy with us, but he wanted to get a job. And I was like, you know what? Let's make this fun, because he couldn't get a job quite yet. He was a little too young. And I really didn't want him working with the public right when this pandemic hit. So we started Instacart shopping. And let me tell you, I love Instacart myself, because they deliver my groceries straight to my door from the grocery shop right down the road. So you can choose whichever grocery shop is within your distance. It doesn't even have to be groceries. You can actually just do pharmaceutical kind of stuff or whatever. Target has it. And all you do is pick out your groceries and they deliver them like within an hour. It's awesome. So Camp Life Skills through Kelback Life Skills Camp got my son actually navigating the grocery store and figuring out how to do these things. I thought it was so fun. He did too. It was a little bonding experience. We were able to help people during the pandemic, and he got a little bit of money from it. So I want to share this with you guys, because if you've never used Instacart, it's going to save you a ton of time. So if you go to thesavvyscribepodcast.com/Instacart, and it's not instant, it's Insta, like Instagram, Instacart, and get your $10 when you sign up. So again, it's thesavvyscribepodcast.com.
That's a wrap for today's episode of The Savvy Scribe. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, we'd love for you to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time.
Again, thank you for listening. If you're ready to explore freelance writing as your next PRN job or even full-time, I invite you to check out our Savvy Nurse Writer community on Facebook and visit SavvyNurseWriter.com to help you get started today.